Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Bitcoin Way podcast. I appreciate you being here. I'm your host, Michael Jordan, and I just wrapped up a very fun conversation with George Manolov. He is the Bitcoin director at the Bulgarian soccer club, the Premier League in Bulgaria, Botev Plovdiv, and he is just such an interesting guy. They are doing some amazing things at the club and their Bitcoin adoption and their strategy, working to educate players and coaches and everyone who's coming through this revolving door of the club. I think you're going to really enjoy this, especially if you're a football or soccer fan. Definitely check out what they're doing. Go to their website. I'll share that at the end. And can't say enough good things about the way that they're going about bringing Bitcoin adoption to the world. All righty, everyone. Like I said in the intro, I've got George here. George, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I'm going to probably shamelessly switch between the use of soccer and football because it's soccer to me, but it's football probably to a lot of the people paying attention and certainly to you. Man, we've got so many interesting things we could cover. Why don't you let's jump into your Bitcoin journey. I'd love to hear about how you came to Bitcoin in the first place and then filling us in on the club that you're associated with and what you're doing. So let's start with Bitcoin.
So for me, my big journey, let's say, is a professional journey. 10 years ago, I graduated university, immediately went into startups, fintechs, and was involved in fundraising and investing in early stage startups. And in 2017, early 2017, we were trying to fundraise for a company. And it was hard, you know, like fundraising normally is. But then we saw the ICO craze, right? And some people were raising 30 million with a landing page. And this is basically how I first got my connection to the crypto space, right? I just knew beforehand that Bitcoin existed, but I never really, I don't know, for whatever reason, never really dig into it, read about it, or whatever. And so 2017, I got, and actually it was first Ether that I bought. And, you know, in general, it became super interesting to me. Like, intellectually speaking, everything that was happening in the space was immensely interesting to me, because I realized it's like, you know, I was still relatively fresh from university. It was like, I was thinking like these things that, you know, we taught in I was taught in university. Now there's this completely new sphere that is evolving within our eyes, and we're in the process of discovering what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. You know, this whole space of cryptocurrencies, what will exist and how it will fit the future world. So it was just like a huge intellectual curiosity. And as I go, like, obviously started listening to podcasts 2017 with all that craze, there was already some content out there. I immediately, by the end of the year, I would say I saw a very, very big potential in Bitcoin. At the time, also other cryptocurrencies, I would say, wouldn't necessarily, you know, realize that Bitcoin was so much different, or like immensely, because at this point, you know, my definition is like, it's immensely different. It was kind of like, at some point I realized I don't want to spend any time in any other industry, because I see so many opportunities and so much potential here. Later on in 2018, about a year later, I started in Nexo, which is grew from a small startup into one of the largest, you know, exchange. Crypto-backed lending is mostly what we were known for. And as I was, you know, involved there, doing business development for the most part, payments related, banking related kind of connections with the traditional world. In the meantime, my interest in Bitcoin continuously grew. I read the Bitcoin Standard end of 2019, decided it's so important for others to have access to this information that I contact Safe, and we translated it and published it in Bulgarian. Then over the years, like, I published and translated also a little book about Bitcoin, the Price of Tomorrow. Now I'm finalizing the translation of the Fiat Standard and Broken Money as well. So at this point, like, we have already, let's say, like, a Bitcoin publishing house here in Bulgaria. And it was about 2 years ago, in 2022, when I read Alan Farrington's Only the Strong Survive and Bitcoin is Venice, which was the final, let's say, moment where I understood, or like for me, at least in my mind, basically anything outside of Bitcoin in the crypto space that is happening, it was, you know, just not interesting, either experimentation or scam or just like casino, whatever. And so from that point, I decided, you know, life is short, time is precious, and I better invest it in something that's worthwhile. So I focused on Bitcoin exclusively, started my own educational platform, focused more even also here on Bulgarian educational side with the books and other endeavors. And last year, almost a year ago, it's now happening. Yeah, it was last July, end of July last year, this opportunity came with the football club of the owner in my home city here, Plovdiv, who was introduced into Bitcoin. We realized how big of an importance Bitcoin is going to have in the world in general, and who also realized that it could play a big role in leveling up the club, internationalizing the club, growing the club audience-wise, financial-wise, and also, you know, not just growing the club, but actually you're in this position when you are running a football club to, you know, have a positive impact on society from a very different angle. Because a football club, okay, it's about football primarily or soccer, but it's really a social living organism of people who are united about this idea and who support each other and care around everything that's happening with this club, right? And people who are in the club, you know, do business with other people who are fans around the club and so on and so forth. So I saw this as a truly amazing opportunity. I still even until this very day, yesterday we had a game. Every time I see our guys playing on the field with the Bitcoin on the jersey, I'm like that's so fucking cool that it's happening in my city, in my town, and that it's real, and that we keep moving. So that's kind of, you know, a very big picture.
That's amazing. So what's the Bitcoin scene like in Bulgaria? It's not a country I know a lot about. My understanding, it's sort of middle of the road in terms of GDP, population of the European Union. Is this like a thriving community? Do you have, you know, conferences, meetups, things going on? Or is the club kind of at the center of what's happening right now?
Yeah, to be fair, Bulgaria is doing quite well in terms of Bitcoin adoption. It's kind of hard, like maybe not so famous, let's say, but in my mind, when you take in consideration the size of our country, you know, the population size, and when I look at the whole of Europe, at least from my experience, I would say we're second in terms of like general public understanding or like percentage of people who care and are involved in Bitcoin in Europe after the Czech Republic.
Why do you think that is?
Just because, I mean, and again, that's abstract. It's not like I'm like some quantitative type of thing, but because first of all, you know, Bulgaria went, like, we were in communist times, right? Just like the Czechs. So I would say in general, there's a high level of skepticism towards government and towards, you know, like we went ourselves also through hyperinflation exactly, what is it, 25 years ago. So a lot of people remember that and have lived through that. So these two factors contribute. There is also like quite a strong, let's say here, people with mathematical and scientific kind of acumen, which is what got many to be involved in Bitcoin in particular pretty early, right? From a technical side of things. And that's kind of, I think, the reasons why I would say people here have been more open to. My, let's say, evaluation as to why I would say we're the second after the Czech Republic is simply because, like with many other countries where I've gone to or I've talked to other people about it, like there's not that much happening there. Or if it is, like, for example, okay, maybe like in Germany, for instance, there's so much happening with 21, but it's, I think it's like, at least my perception is still smaller in terms of percentage compared to the overall, right, Germany and so on and so forth. And so what we have here, I mean, what we have We've had, you know, obviously the books that that we've been publishing. We have now two times we have an international conference organized by the largest Bulgarian Bitcoin YouTuber here. We have like two, three of those who are quite active. Everyone with like several tens, like 20, 30, 40,000 subscribers here, which is quite a lot for our size of country and for this niche. We've got companies obviously that are involved in I mean, even if it's not exclusively Bitcoin, I still, you know, I worked at Nexo, a very, like, the Nexo was founded by Bulgarians and a lot of people around it were Bulgarians. So this obviously creates a lot of knowledge and just people who are generally in the space. What else? There's also, yeah, of course, there's just like these randomly, like we have meetups basically in all of the four or five largest cities in the country. Regular meetups we have had now for the past last year to two times, conference about merchant adoption, smaller events, let's say. And many of these things are organized by different people. So it's not like, you know, there's one, only one moving party or active party. And that is kind of the exciting part, is because when things start adding up, stacking up, and it's all very grassroots, to be fair, which is what I like. Before I used to try to pitch, let's say, or to introduce in some way high level people to Bitcoin in one way or another. Like when I say high level people, I mean people in terms of like having big companies here or being on the high level of the political spectrum. Many of them would ignore it. Like most actually would not, just not take it seriously. And at some point I realized it's not worth it, right? You, like just going and proactively orange pilling people who are not ready is just not a good use of my time. And I think in general for many Bitcoiners, that's the case. And so I decided to focus, and I'm very happy, not just myself, but quite some people around were focusing on doing their thing, right? And talking to or doing the thing for the people who are ready and open-minded to do. And that's what particularly excites me so much about the football club, because even until today, it's, you know, it's 9 months since publicly we started this effort. So many people still don't take it seriously. And in my mind, it is the biggest opportunity that we have to like to orange peel tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people in this country. Because nobody would expect that like this would start from a football club. They would just like look for a political party. They would look for like, I don't know, some other type of ways in which this could be introduced. But I don't think people even think it's possible for you to do it through sports.
Yeah. Have you been happy with the book sales in Bulgaria, like the Bitcoin Standard, some of these works that you've helped in with the translation on? Like, are you seeing the message resonate to the point where people are at least intellectually curious enough that they're buying the books, they're engaging, or has that been surprising or slow, or where are you at on that?
It's decent, to be fair. It could be better. It could be worse. The Bitcoin Standard is selling all the time, basically. I would say at a sure, more or less gradual pace. A lot of Bitcoiners are buying it, like giving it for gifts for their families and friends, right? Little book about Bitcoin too, Price of Tomorrow too. I'm very excited about the fiat standard and broken money. And so far, for the vast majority of time, I've been selling the books online. To be fair, because I've been doing a lot of things and just like with having my regular job and this job, frankly, it's always been a challenge for me to prioritize what I do and what it's, you know, mostly worth my time, where it's best invested. But now we're going to start to introduce them in the prime bookshop in the country, where basically we'll have not just these three books. I'll have like the two new books. So basically there will be five books. We sell them under the brand BitcoinReady.bg. So I hope that this also, you know, brings them to an even larger audience. So I'd say I'm happy. a lot of people have I've seen, and also thanks to the other people who are doing it, because it's not just the books. A lot of this is a lot of the reason why books are being sold is, like I mentioned, because of the influencers we have, because of the people who organize the meetups, right? All of these kind of complement each other, and this is what also, let's say, keeps interest in the books.
Yeah. So let's talk about football. So first of all, our paths almost crossed. You've spent some time in St. Louis, where I got my graduate degree at Washington University here in St. Louis. I think you were there for a year. Were you playing soccer, or were you coming just for the education?
No. I was coming just for the education. Although now that you say, yeah, I remember playing a couple of times soccer. Yeah, for sure. With friends. But no, soccer was, I played for fun when I was a kid in high school, and let's say very little in university. But then there was probably about a 10-year gap when I didn't play at all. It's just like my focus in life, or didn't even watch, follow the games. Now that I'm getting back into it, I remember and know some of the players back in the day, when we were younger. I am not that still that much caught up with what's happening now, just because the past 10 years, finance, Bitcoin, crypto has been my general focus, and I guess other topics. But now I'm getting back into it. And I'm rediscovering the magic of sports, and particular football as a sphere that connects people, that connects them emotionally. It's really amazing. Like I say, like to see around the club, around the stadium, people with various businesses, various interests, just being united by this idea of, like, let's come to the stadium, watch a game. And the game is, the center, but there's so much happening around it. And then once you have this, like, even though I wasn't interested in football for 10 years, because I've been playing, because I've been watching and being emotional about it, I'm like very easily getting back into it. And so for me now, it's not just a job. It's also like super exciting. It's a unique type of job, because it's not just like, there's all this, let's say, corporate business thing that you do in any business, but there's the emotional element too, because part of the job is also to watch the game, get people to come see the game too.
So yeah, it's such a good way to connect people. I couldn't agree more. Is football like the top sport in Bulgaria the way it is in most of Europe?
For sure, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
So, well, first of all, I'm probably going to butcher the name, but is it Botev Plovdiv? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. You're not just humoring me. That's surreal.
No,
okay.
No.
So what's your connection there? How did you get involved? And can you maybe elaborate a bit on your role? And let's just start with that.
Sure. So Botev is the oldest Bulgarian football club in Plovdiv, which happens to be the oldest city in Europe. And I happen to be also born here. So I grew up here. And like I said, basically, last year around this time in July, I got connected to the owner who had this idea that he wanted to internationalize the club as a strategy, and in particular to internationalize it using Bitcoin specifically, because there's also, you can internationalize the club in terms of like the social layer of Bitcoin, let's say, people who are involved in it. But also, obviously, there's so much financial upside in kind of things that you can think to do around Bitcoin, like buying Bitcoin, stacking Bitcoin, and many other things for really. And so he was looking for somebody to lead the whole effort, right? Because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of, project management. It's a lot of, and it's something that, let's say, it's something that you need to be native. You need to be Bitcoin native. Otherwise, you can't just hire anyone, right? And so for me, I thought about it for a bit. Like I got immediately super excited initially. Like that was my initial, because I'm a type of guy who gets very enthusiastic about stuff very easily. Then I got a bit, let's say, hesitant in terms of like, hey, am I able to actually execute on this? are we going to do it? This is going to be so much work. I've never done this. I mean, obviously, I've had various experiences and stuff I've done, but never something like this. But then, you know, I kind of wrote down the pros and cons, and I was like, you know, this is a unique opportunity for me to learn so much. Yeah, I'm going to challenge myself. Yeah, it's going to be hard. But if we make this happen, we can have a tremendous impact on this city, on this club, on this country, hopefully, like I mentioned. And if I look back in time, you know, like several years or tens of years down the line, I don't think I would regret trying to do this. And from that perspective, it was an easy decision. And so I jumped into it. And it's been quite a wild ride. And I am like, yeah, even it's almost a year at this point. Yeah.
That's wild. I bet it felt like a fast year.
Yeah. First few months were crazy. Yeah.
Oh, I bet. So you had support at the top from the beginning, it sounds like. Okay. And has the strategy been, we'll get to the strategy. Why don't you give us a quick update on the club itself, where you're at in the season? I think I saw on X that you guys, you won, you took, the 2024 Bulgarian Cup winner.
That's right.
So you seem to be doing well outside of, just Bitcoin. What's been the performance of the team?
That's right. So that's been hell of a ride too. So when I came here for the first time last August for a game, it was horrible, man. I mean, seriously, it was pretty bad. So season here starts, like next week in Bulgaria. And so it was already started, and we had like first five, six rounds of the championship last year. We lost, like it was super bad. The fans and everything, everyone was very unhappy, very negative energy. You know, they were blaming all kinds of people around, right, for the situation. And okay, there was this idea about the Bitcoin thing, but this is also kind of a little what I added to my hesitation, because like, okay, it's a great idea, but you know, first and foremost, it's football, right? And if that's not going well, this Bitcoin thing is not going to go anywhere, right? But you know, I mean, it's crazy, to be fair, how things have evolved positively. Because right around when I joined, and when things got really bad, basically, for the club, the owner appointed a new sports director, a new head coach. And this was basically, looking back now, the turning point from which things started becoming much better, right? Club stood on its ground. We got a couple of leaders in the team. We have a couple of, let's say, we have a very experienced captain who could, let's say, lead the other youngsters and bring this unity to the team, to the squad. And ever since then, basically here in Bulgaria, we have the championship, you know, and then we have the Bulgarian Cup, which is kind of the elimination rounds where you play directly with other clubs. And if you, let's say, become one of the, to put it simply, if you become one of the three clubs, one of the top three in the championship, or if you win the cup, you get the chance to play in European leagues internationally, which is kind of what any serious club here is striving for, because you know that's what fans want. That's where eventually there is the higher revenues, the higher sponsorship opportunities, broadcasting, and so on and so forth. So since we had such a bad start of the season, it was not really realistic for us to, it was impossible really to fight for the first places in the championship, but it was reasonable. You know, you always could fight for the Bulgarian Cup. And this was since day one, you know, the goal that, the new, sports management had set in place. And, hell, it wasn't easy. Many people thought it's impossible. Chances were all against us. Even for the final was crazy. We played the Bulgarian champion, which is objectively way better squad and team than us, right? In general, I mean they've been winning the Bulgarian championship for 10 years straight. For many reasons, they're really like significantly higher than us. the odds, you know, the betting odds were completely against us, right? Like 6-1 against us. But the guys, I mean, seriously, they gave their all. The fans were there. We were all there supporting them. And it's one of those things that, you know, that's, I have this friend of mine who's like, this is destiny. I think so many things are aligning for us to win. And it was hell of a game. We were leading the whole time. We scored one, then 1-1, 2-1, 3-1. Then it almost got the same goal. You know, it almost got to a draw, like 3-2 for us. And then in the last minute of the final, the referee gave a penalty to the other team. Like, I mean, shocking. But thank God again for the very in this last minute they missed the penalty, and this was like, I'll never forget this moment.
I was gonna say, I bet you were just the stress levels were high as he was just like, stepping up to take that penalty.
This was like, no, I remember him missing the penalty. I have this picture, you know, in my mind. It's kind of like printed there forever. It was such an exciting moment.
Unbelievable.
and we got it. We got the Bulgarian Cup, which is a huge thing for us, you know, because although, you know, Botev is kind of it's really the third largest club here in the country in terms of fan base, in terms of just, you know, general reach. We've got not that many cups, titles, like championships or super cups in our history. So it was quite a significant achievement in general. And in particular for this season, because of kind of how everything evolved, but this was great. And since then, you know, obviously now it's been an important period. We signed the coach for another two-year season, for another 2-year period, and he, together with the sports coach, they've been doing a lot of improvements, right? Because now there is the transfer window here in Europe, so there's like buying and selling of players involved. We've got quite some good new guys coming, and actually the two of the new players that we got yesterday, we played our first game in for the UEFA Europa League, and two of these players scored two of the goals that made us win. So we're in a good place right now. Fingers crossed this continues. But
it's like a fairy tale story. That's amazing.
It's, yeah.
Would you credit Bitcoin adoption to this point with any of the improvements in the club, or was that just kind of a matter of, you know, reshuffling some people and getting new blood in there to coach and play? To what extent is
yeah, no,
Bitcoin a catalyst?
No, I don't think, you know, we can make jokes and stuff, but I don't think Bitcoin was involved in particular for the success of the club on the field so far. But it's a key strategy, right? It's a key, you know, ingredients to our medium to long-term strategy to continue winning and to level up the club. Because to be fair, a lot of people in this country and in this club, in my mind, have limited ambitions, I think, because they, you know, once you've grown up like in a small country, you're used to things like you, it's hard to really dream big or to really go outside of what's been possible so far. And for me, that's what kind of, and not just for me, for the president, for the owner, that's what kind of this Bitcoin strategy allows us to do and to think is we can bring this club back to its glorious days. You know, 40 years ago, we beat Bayern Munich. Although football and soccer was very different in the time, right? It was way, just like a completely different ball game. But still, I'm very confident we can get to this level. And not just that. I mean, seriously, like, if you look at, if you have a good strategy in place, if you have a smart strategy in place, if you have a good execution, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line or more, it's absolutely crazy what this club can be. This club can absolutely change this city. This can have a huge impact on the country, right? If we, you know, do well if we stack lots of Bitcoins, if we grow our base internationally, if we get people to follow us, if and I think that's what the Bitcoin hack is about, right? It's because we get so many people internationally, Bitcoin is going to win, right? There's no question about that for anyone who understands it. And there's so many smart and capable and you know, wealthy people in Bitcoin who can help you with capital, with network, if you do the right things. And so it's a matter of creativity, the right strategy, and like continuous hard work, proof of work, for you to get the most out of it. That's how I see it.
Yeah. So the next, you know, I'm making up the timeline for you, but 5-10 years, the goal is really not only to be the premier club in Bulgaria, but then to compete across Europe at a much higher level than you maybe have up to this point.
Oh yeah. So I would say the straight goal right now is for us this season to enter to become top three, top four worst in Bulgaria in the championship. And I would say, you know, soon we should be able to, and already to actually win the championship. I don't know when. Theoretically, it could happen even this year. Nothing is impossible. But even if it happens next year or the year after, that's good. But what we absolutely must do is to every year start playing in Europe and keep leveling up. I think it's absolutely possible for us to become respected, well-known team around Europe within 4, 5, 6 years, like playing on Europa UEFA League within 4, 5, 6 years. Why not also enter the Champions League? Absolutely possible. And then when you start looking, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years down the line, again, actually closely dependent, because this is where the Bitcoin strategy becomes very important, right? So far, like I said, the Bitcoin strategy has not been crucial on the on-game, on-field performance, right? But for us to really level up higher, the only way really for us to do it is Bitcoin strategy. Because the traditional stuff, you know, staying here within Bulgaria, within Plovdiv, no, like, okay, the best we can do is become the top team in Bulgaria, and that's about it. Bitcoin is what gives us this edge, and specifically that we are the first really to do it on this level. Obviously, you know, Peter has pioneered the concept of, you know, doing a Bitcoin club. But you know, on a really lower level on in the UK, whereas here, like we're basically, I mean, playing for the Europa League right now, and so we are very much close to way bigger exposure. Even now, we're getting it. I mean, literally last night's game was watched by about 1 million people, like here in Slovenia, the other club. It's not even impossible, you know. With a little luck, even this year, we could enter the group stage of maybe Europa League or Conference League. It will be very hard, but it's not impossible. I don't know. If we do this, that's so much exposure for us, for Bitcoin, for that's also significant revenue for the club at this point. But yeah, long story short, Bitcoin has not had a big influence on the on-field performance yet. But I think it's the key. It's the only way for us to outrun and really to surpass the dreams that people can't even fathom here in the city and in the country.
Yeah, for anyone listening, I guess for context, I can't remember. I know Real Bedford, Peter McCormick's team in England has, they started at the bottom of what, you know, a rung of 10 level, you know, 8 or 10 levels of teams, and have won their league a couple of times. I think moved up once or twice. And his goal is to play, you know, in the top league 10 years from now, in a country with a very, you know, historic, you know, major football programs, a lot of money. You guys are though already playing in the top league in Bulgaria, right? So this is like next level. The exposure that you have and the opportunity that you have is right before you. It's not a matter of getting to the top of Bulgaria and then advancing. You're positioning yourselves in such a way that could be a reality in a few years.
No, of course. And yeah, not just that in terms of like level of where we are, but also in terms of infrastructure and so much thing that is available, right? I mean, literally, we are playing on Bulgaria's brand new best stadium right now. It's like, I don't know if you can. It's not, yeah, there's a little sunlight, but obviously people can Google, they can see videos and stuff. They can check us on Noster and Twitter. But it's the best facility in the country. It's really cool, right? You know, this costs a lot of money. Additionally from that, we have the best training base here in the country as well. And so there's a lot of things that, like, first of all, makes it attractive, enables you to do things, you know, football related, non-football related, many of which we're planning, you know, Bitcoin related and football related, right? You can once you start getting creative, you can invent a lot of things. And the funny part is, and that's actually why, I mean, we're having this talk. So we're getting interest from other people who come up with very, very good ideas. One of the, you know, it's still very early, so I wouldn't really talk about it. But one super cool guy reached out to us because of what we're doing. He has his experience, his background, his skill set and experience that's bringing to the table. And he wants to realize something super, super cool here in Plovdiv, you know, around Bitcoin and football. So we're still working on it. Maybe we have some news later this year. So we might announce it. But yeah, anyone who might, yeah, have ideas or suggestions is welcome to reach out, welcome to visit here. And then the level is really different because we have so much already available. It's just, like I said, execution, which is really the most challenging part. Bitcoin is going to win. Bitcoiners are going to win. And then, you know, Bitcoin projects, that's all about execution.
Hey, just a quick break and we'll get back to the show. But I want to introduce you to our very first sponsor of the Bitcoin Way podcast, Satoshi Coffee Company. Satoshi Coffee, sats.coffee is the URL. They make high quality, fresh roasted coffee, and they even put the block number to show proof of work on each bag. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that. I'm not a coffee snob, but I'm sort of picky about what I do enjoy. And this Satoshi blend, which is one of their more popular blends, is incredible. They also have a blend from El Salvador and a couple of others. I'd highly recommend you trying out all of them. But the cool thing about Satoshi Coffee Company is they are Bitcoin only and only accept Bitcoin as payment. And as a Bitcoin Way podcast listener, you get 6.9% off if you go to sats.coffee and enter code TBW69. Again, Satoshi Coffee Company, sats.coffee. Check them out. Support Bitcoin only companies like Satoshi Coffee Company. So on the club's website, it says the team adopted Bitcoin last year on October 31st. So that was exactly 15 years, I believe, to the day that Satoshi published the white paper. Was that by design? And then could you also then explain what it means for your club to have adopted Bitcoin? Is it just in your treasury? Is it, you know, are you accepting Bitcoin as payment? Are you doing educational stuff? What all does that mean?
Right. Makes sense. Yeah. So I started last September, and immediately we started thinking, okay, how can we use this to internationalize the club? What can we do with this? Because at the end of the day, what you realize with Bitcoin is it's really, at this point, it's the biggest brand in crypto, arguably in finance overall. It's going to be one of the biggest brands in the world very soon, right? And you can do stuff with it without having to pay royalties to anyone, right? So if we can, you know, establish ourselves, if we can connect our brand to the Bitcoin brand, this can be a huge opportunity again for us long term. So this was kind of a big kind of reason why we started this whole thing. When I started, you know, I'm kind of like always thinking in terms of these unique days and special days. So that's why I thought, hey, like, why don't we announce it on the 31st of October? There's the anniversary. So it would make it all even cooler, you know, 15 years after Satoshi introduced this, this really new form of technology that allows for freedom of speech, for unconfiscatable value, for new value storage and value transfer digitally. We as a football club believe that this is going to be a key technology for the future of humanity, for the future of every single sports club globally. And we're embracing this technology, and we'll be looking for ways to implement this technology. Initially, on the very first date when we announced it, basically, we started accepting Bitcoin in our fan shops here at the stadium, online for our fan shop as well. Like if you want to buy. So this was kind of the first thing, starting to accept Bitcoin payments. Then we added a Bitcoin ATM on our fan shop. We partnered with a local company, CryptoDesk.bg. For the online stuff, by the way, and for the payments, we partnered with BTC Pay Server. And again, CryptoDesk, the Bulgarian company, we love the BTC Pay Server guys, frankly, and everything they've been building. Right now, we're in the final stages. Basically, we've launched, but we're still fine-tuning. We're going to have, many sports clubs have Bitcoin membership cards. We already have them, yeah. Bitcoin membership cards, both cards basically, which give you certain perks around the club and are also personalized specifically for you. So, for example, you can have your name on the card and on the jersey. Like we have like a person there with jersey, and you can have exactly your name or whatever name you want really to put. So we've been doing this. We've partnered with Jantree as well and their Aqua wallet, which anyone really now, if you open your Aqua wallet, download it. In the settings, there's a BOTIF mode feature where, basically turns the skin of the app to our brand colors, yellow and black. And then if you open the app, you would see the picture of the stadium there. So that's another thing we've done. And then we've got like people coming here visiting. Joe Nakamoto created a very good documentary about a lot of the things we've been doing. We've started doing local meetups. The books that I mentioned actually are being sold currently in the fan shop as well. And there's a lot also that we've been doing on the corporate finance side, because we've been strategizing and working a lot, let's say, what to do specifically, to make this huge step to turn this Bitcoin into not just let's say, a strategy for us to educate locals, but really also to supercharge the club's finances 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, and to grow the business multiple magnitudes, right? So that's why also I was just about a little more than a month ago in El Salvador, which we've been looking very, very carefully into with their new regulation. Not just Bitcoin being a legal tender there, which is very interesting for us potentially, as we are looking to stack Bitcoin over time with no taxes, because Bitcoin there is money. It should be everywhere, right? But so far it's only there. But also because of their digital asset framework, which essentially allows companies globally to issue digital securities. So you can issue debt, you can issue equity, you can sell equity. And this is what we are actively working on, specifically to allow our fans, but also our global, anyone really globally, through the El Salvador legislation to become co-owner of the club. And to benefit from really to be part of this journey, to have skin in the game of this of this club, depending on kind of how things go, because many people are associated with their clubs because they have they're just like feel attached to the club, but it's very few. I don't think even in a traditional sense, like very few clubs actually you can own part of them, and we believe this is crucial for us. This is one of the key things we want to achieve, to get people to not just be associated with what we do, like ideologically, brand-wise, because of the Bitcoin thing or because of whatever other reason that they're involved with the club. But if we also get them financially to be able to be part of this club, then all these people, they become really even, we multiply their strength as an ambassadors. We multiply their interests to support the club in all kinds of various ways. So this is kind of, let's say, the one of the special projects we've been working on. It's just, let's say, the more complicated to execute, but it's what I believe will really put us on the global scene in terms of just as a leader in terms of how Bitcoin is implemented and integrated into a football club while enabling distributed ownership by fans in the community.
So many good things going on. That's incredible. Okay, so a lot of people who don't understand Bitcoin want to know why they can't buy coffee with Bitcoin. And you all have integrated it as a payment system. You've got an ATM. Were there technical or logistical challenges when you did that, or was it a pretty straightforward process to begin accepting Bitcoin as payment?
I'll say it's mostly straightforward. Obviously, anything that you do for the first time is, there is a process to learning and experimenting and trying, but it's not particularly hard. And for us, you know, to be fair, you know, it's been, I love that we've done all these things. This is what kind of creates validity and really makes us look serious, both locally to the local Bitcoin community, but also internationally. And now it's not been yet a big, let's say, revenue driver for us. But I think that's normal. And I think it takes time. And I think it's also normal because we are really essentially an advanced country, right? Payments here work, right? So people are used to paying with their cards and stuff. So at least in my mind, to be fair, spending Bitcoin is the real utility of Bitcoin, or transacting with Bitcoin in the Western world, right? So it's nice to have, and it's cool to have. And I do it, like I really have, every time I'm able to pay in Bitcoin, I pay in Bitcoin, but I do it, rarely I do it because of convenience. The convenience I do online, let's say, because that's cool, that's easy. But in person, I do it really just to incentivize people, to make them think, to incentivize them to say, hey, thank you for accepting Bitcoin, because I think this is important for adoption and for getting more people to wake up to it. So I wouldn't say it was complicated, but yeah, the corporate finance part has been way more complicated.
No, I can imagine. It's so cool though that you have resources and partners that you can work with who can rather seamlessly integrate. And I think a lot of people just don't realize that we're already there. There's a long road ahead. I think when it comes to, there are still enough people who need to appreciate Bitcoin as a store of value and an asset before they're even interested in buying a jersey or their cup of coffee with it. But it's, yeah, I don't think most people realize from a corporate perspective, it's totally doable. You know, I mean, at the Bitcoin way, we only accept Bitcoin. Like, we don't even have any fiat infrastructure, and it's more a learning curve for the end user to realize that's an option, I think.
For sure. Yeah, no, you're in a privileged position. I envy you, seriously, because like your clients are all, yeah, they understand Bitcoin. I think, yeah, fiat infrastructure is horrible, but for our types of businesses, it's just kind of the standard. And like, yeah, even, you know, we give the discounts. If you pay with Bitcoin, every time you get 10% discount. But some people do it, you know, but it's not like people are making that jump, let's say, just because of the 10%. My big goal right now is because my big goal really is to get some of our key players to see Bitcoin and to appreciate Bitcoin and to start talking and doing things with Bitcoin. Because I think this is what will really be, let's say, a turning point for the wider fan audience and community to start taking this seriously outside of, you know, obviously the Bitcoin circles, because everybody listens and pays attention and is interested in the leading players, like, let's say, the 2, 3, 5 guys who are like super well respected and everyone thinks positively about them. So that's my that's my next goal. And literally in the next few weeks, I'm currently preparing for a whole presentation, because so far I've spoken to some one-to-one, but never really had this this like more heads-on approach. But now things have aligned very well, and we believe it's a very good time to present it. We've gotten a lot of traction. We've got a lot of positive momentum, both on the Bitcoin side, on the football side. So I'll do that. And like I said, it's my hope, and I'll give my all to show them the utility for each and every one of them, right? Because it's different for our Nigerian players. It's about, you know, the key thing could be the transacting that they could do from here to Nigeria, basically almost for free, or free, like depending on how much and, you know, how often. For really most other players, it can be about savings and investing, right? But it's just, again, like, it's how you show it to them. And I'm still brainstorming a lot and experimenting with different ideas, how to make it as simple that as possible to get others involved, right? I've got now, there's an American football player, Alex, I might get his surname wrong, Crognali, I think. He's from Italian origin. He plays in the, in America, and he recorded a short video because he came out a couple of years ago, that he accepts, that he converts part of his salary into Bitcoin. And so I've got him recorded a video for our players. Just spoke to Kieran Gibbs from Arsenal, who's now leading an academy in Miami for kids. And he also basically started doing part of his salary into Bitcoin. So I've gotten these established football players who have shared why they do it. And will really give my all here to get a couple of the guys, because I think this will be, like I said, a turning point for more people starting to look at this from a different angle.
Yeah, you answered my next question. I was curious, because you've in any club, you're going to have a revolving cast of characters, right? You're going to have new coaches, trainers, players, yeah. And I was wondering to what extent you're engaging with them on a more individual level. Does anyone on your team or on your staff get paid in Bitcoin?
No, not really. And I don't think that's practically something we'll be pursuing for legal and accounting reasons anytime soon. It's just it's just not worth the effort.
What would the tax implications in Bulgaria be for something like that? Like, are there, like, do you have capital gains taxes where if they then had this, if they spent their Bitcoin or sold it later on, that they'd incur a huge tax liability?
Yeah, no, actually it's kind of reasonable in Bulgaria. You only pay 10% capital gains tax if it goes up in price and you sell. But just like from an operational point of view, for us as a club to be able to pay out in Bitcoin, it's just too much of a hassle, and it will create a lot of work for people that I don't think it's practical. What is significantly more realistic in what we want to do is we pay out the salary in fiat, but then we have partners where the player can convert part of his salary into Bitcoin, because that's at the end of the day what you need. Like, the end goal is important, right? How you get there is you choose the path of least resistance, and the path of least resistance from a tax accounting perspective is just pay out the fiat, but make it as easy as possible for them to convert whatever percentage they decide into Bitcoin through another service. So that's really what my goal would be right now.
Yeah, I think you're probably positioned with a unique opportunity, because you have, if your team isn't static and you've got people coming and going, you have an opportunity to share with new people who haven't heard the Bitcoin message. And also, as people depart the club, maybe they take some of that with them to where they're going. And, if it really connects, they have an opportunity to influence, you know, players around them. And if you have them move to more prominent clubs in Europe or something like that, it's the game theory playing out, and you're like at this, you know, important level of that where there's international visibility, there's fluidity, you know, between countries where folks can play. It's such an amazing opportunity.
No, true. And we are at this place, like, we're actually a lot of either kids from our academy, or we get a lot of other, let's say, African players who come here, and we are kind of the jumping board for many of them to other clubs in Europe, right? So exactly what you say is super valid. Yeah, that's why I say it's all about execution. And I think we're really giving our best, because I think we're at the right spot, right timing to really have a significant difference. Because yeah, some of them are going to move on, but even if they don't, like, we're not small, we're not super huge, but we're large enough to get noise around if we consistently keep doing the work. If we get, like, let's say, a few players to start talking about it, because as a few players start talking about it, there's already a few Bitcoin players, in other clubs, like I mentioned, some of them who've been open and supportive and talkative. There's obviously the Bitcoin community, which I think is going to get, supportive and excited about seeing more players getting involved. And like you say, it's this game theory, and this, we are going to win, right? No question about this. And there's these key points and key, points in society, which I believe we are fortunate to be in as a club, as a size of a club, as owner of the club, as this whole strategy where we can play this pretty pivotal, moment for way more players, first players, but then later on, why not other clubs? I think it's just a matter of time before also clubs realize it's a no-brainer. Because, for you and I, we live in this world. We already understand Bitcoin is inevitable. We already understand it. It makes no sense. It's just how do you bring it to the others, and how does it happen more or less naturally, right? Without, forced orange peeling, because I don't think that works.
Well, so George, we're coming to the top of the hour. Is there anything I haven't asked you, or anything else you want to share about the club before I get to our last question?
Well, I would really encourage your listeners to come visit us. First, on our website, you can go visit our website on botev.sv, which is the website of our holding Salvadorian entity that we've created, where you can get a quick glimpse as to how you can get involved, whether it's just by subscribing, following us on our social media, on Twitter, on Nostr, where we've been super active and we've been gaining lots of traction. Plan a visit here, like I said, in any way that you think you can be involved as a partner, as a sponsor, as a person who wants to actually work. Maybe you have an idea, a project, or just like ways in which you actively want to get involved in the club, please reach out.
That's a good call to action. I just seeing your pitch, I want to get over there. I've got three small children, so it's a little harder to make that sort of trip across the Atlantic these days, but I would love to get over there for a game.
No, for sure.
See what you're doing.
Please, when you're coming to Europe, definitely let me know. Reach out. For anyone else who is in Europe or kind of the close part here, we have games, almost home games, almost every 2 weeks here, and the city is super well worth visiting. I've had so many Bitcoiners just literally 2 days ago. Another guy who finally came to Plovdiv, and he was like, "Dude, this city is so cool. It's so nice." He was working like here for 2 weeks, like because he's a software engineer working for a Bitcoin company. It's really worth visiting for so many reasons outside of this club. It's, for whatever reason, it's not that well known, but it's the oldest city in Europe. It's super chill, super vibe. I mean, summer months, July and August are fucking hot. But other than that, it's an amazing place to visit and to spend and to explore. And the club just, and what we're doing is yet another kind of cherry on top of the pie, let's say.
Amazing. All righty. So last question. This is what I've begun asking everyone. And the question is, what is an unpopular opinion that you hold? And bonus points if it's something that is unpopular even amongst Bitcoiners. So you can get as spicy as you want here.
Oh, man. I thought about this, and it's like, I think I have an unpopular opinion about normies, like among normies. I'm not sure if I have that many unpopular opinions about Bitcoiners.
You can give an unpopular opinion amongst normies too.
Let me go with Bitcoin. I think, and I would like to see, there's this opinion, right, quite popular about among Bitcoiners, that Bitcoin fixes a lot of things, right? Which, to a large extent, I agree with. But I think it is a very lazy approach to life. And I would like to see so many more Bitcoiners taking actions and actually not just waiting for things to evolve so Bitcoin eventually wins, but actually be involved in projects in one way or another that accelerates this winning. Because yeah, Bitcoin helps fix things, but it is us who determine the speed of how much it happens, and it is and the trajectory in which it happens. And the sooner more people start building, even in traditional, in fiat type of things towards Bitcoin, I think the better overall will be. And so I'd like to see more people, let's say, being keyboard warriors, less of a keyboard warriors and more of actual doers and executors and dreamers and just builders on the ground. I think we're living in a unique time. I feel blessed to be doing what I'm doing, but I think almost everyone can find such a place or opportunity or project within his realm that he can contribute. And man, like, once things start stacking up, we're going to fix the world, and Bitcoin is going to be the tool that helps us do it faster.
Well said. I think that's a great way to wrap up. George, thank you so much for your time. I really hope I get to make it over there and catch a game someday. But thank you so much for what you're doing. And to everyone listening, don't forget to support this effort and check out the site that he shared. We'll obviously link to it as well in the description of the podcast. But George, thank you so much, and hope we can stay in touch.
Thank you, Michael.
And that's a wrap. Again, I hope you enjoyed this conversation with George as much as I did. Check out the club, go to their website, support them in any way you can. If you can get over to Bulgaria, if you happen to live in the area, they look to have a beautiful stadium and a thriving community around the team. So it's always just good to support Bitcoiners who are doing important things. And like George said at the end of the interview, get up, take action, go do something. It's fun to post on Twitter and engage at conferences, and all those things are good and very important. But if you have an opportunity in your local community to involve yourself more heavily in Bitcoin and bring in adoption, we're going to win. But how quickly we win is up to us. Again, appreciate you being here. Check out the Bitcoin Way if you need help with personal cybersecurity, self-custody done right, no shortcuts or compromises. Check out thebitcoinway.com/podcast. You can also follow us on X at thebitcoinway_. And if you want to follow me, ping me, message me, any questions, comments, concerns, I'm on X as well, @TheOtherMJordan. Until next time, this is Michael signing off.